It's the Money Matters Radio Network. Call in toll-free to ask your financial questions at 888-205-2263 or log on to moneymattersboston.com.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, they go together like a horse and carriage.
Okay, welcome into the Money Matters Radio Network Afternoon Edition, a June night in studio with my co-host Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices out in Worcester. Okay, the music says it all,
it
Brendan.
It really does. Does that make you Christina Applegate?
I think it does. Does it make you Al Bundy? That's what I want.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You know, Ed O'Neill, he's a pretty good actor. You know, yeah. I always end up thinking of him as Al Bundy. I mean,
he'll always be that.
He'll always be Al Bundy, and with those polyester pants and the bad stained shirt, and yeah, he was great.
It's like Sam on Cheers, the bartender.
Yeah,
you know,
but
a
lot less good looking.
Right. Okay. So we were playing that song, that Frank Sinatra hit song, "Love and Marriage,"
and that is
because today, Brendan, why don't you tell us what kind of information you have on tap and what kind of a guide you're giving away?
So we're going to give away a guide for it's the estate planning guide for second marriages and blended families. I thought what we would talk about today is as a kind of a follow-up to last week's conversation on prenups, mm-hmm. with my partner Linda Camuso being here. I thought it would be a good topic to talk about when clients come in, and you know, it's strange to say, it's, you know, the client will come in and say, you know, I have an atypical situation, and, you know, this is my second marriage, my third marriage, I got kids, stepkids here, and that's almost the typical now. That's like the norm. You know, the atypical now is the, oh, I've been married to her for so many years, and we, you know, never had anything else going on. We've got these three kids, and they're all in great shape, and most people have.
So that's less typical.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that way. Maybe I'm being a little facetious, but it just does seem that most people these days have some sort of issues going on. And so what I thought today's show we could really talk about is the whole, you know, second marriage, but it could be third, fourth. I mean, some of the similar concerns.
Until they get it right. They just keep going back.
Keep trying. Just don't keep inviting me to the wedding, because I don't think that's fair. I don't think I should have to keep buying gifts on the second, third, fourth go-around. At that point, just go do it and tell me about it when it's done.
Right. When you get to that point, I mean, come on. People are tired of going to the wedding, and you're giving up an entire weekend.
Yeah,
that's your day off.
Feel free to head to Vegas and send me a postcard, you know.
All right. So once again, Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices. This is called The Guide to Estate Planning, and actually a guide for second marriages and blended families, you know, when it comes to estate planning, that is. And let's talk about this then, Brendan. You say this is a more likely scenario these days. So how can one leave assets for children of the first marriage while providing for the children of the second marriage?
It's a great question. We, you know, we see this, you know, come into our office, and people will have these scenarios, and a lot of times they'll come in together. You know, they're both recently married, and you know, she's got her kids from the prior, and he's got his kids from the prior, or maybe they've even been married for a while, so they have kids together. Really what we're, you know, what we start with is, just talk to them about some of the potential conflicts. And I think that's always important to understand when spouses, irrespective of their situations, come in before us. There's this inherent conflict of interest between spouses. Now, a lot of spouses plan together. Most, in fact, do, at least from my perspective, because they want to plan together and they want to be on the same page and that sort of thing. But there is this inherent conflict here because, you know, especially in a blended family situation, that they have to be more aware of is that, you know, if I want to leave things to my kids, how do I leave things to you? And then if I pass away first, are you going to be taking care of my kids? Can I trust you to send those things that way? So what usually ends up happening, we fall into really one of three scenarios, or maybe two scenarios, with the second scenario being having, you know, two subsections. So the first one is, a lot of times people will leave something off the top of their estate plan for their children. So say my wife and I are married, and it's our second marriage, and I want to leave something for the benefit of my kids. from a prior marriage, maybe what I'll do is I'll take a sum of money off the top in my plan and say, okay, the kids are going to get it at my death if I were to die first, and then maybe leave the rest to my spouse.
Okay.
Just take care of them at that point, because a lot of times what we have to think about is the age difference. You know, I mean, sometimes we have these second marriages.
Absolutely. I'd say that's an epidemic, if you will,
is what's going on out there. They get the new model car, you know, the 2011s are out, you know.
The new model car.
You know, they like the style better, I guess. But what ends up happening is that, you know, they'll say, okay, well, since my new spouse is younger than my children, I don't want them to have to wait very long, so I might leave them something off the top. And so that has to be a concern. We always have to think about, you know, ages and the age difference in these situations. But the other thing that someone may do is they may say, well, listen, I'm going to leave it to my spouse. And then, and probably more likely in a situation where they're of the same age, because I want to take care of her and I want to make sure she's or he is all set. I always say, because I'm always knocking the guy off first. I do that in my practice too. So I apologize to our listeners.
I think stats would probably back you up on that one.
Yeah, I think so. But you know, really, what they'll end up doing is say, okay, I want to take care of my spouse, and then when he or she dies, the spouse, I'm then going to leave assets for my kids. I'm going to ask, you know. Leave them in that way. Now, sometimes they'll do the old trust factor, and this, which we call the survivor wins mentality. You got to lay it on the line. It's like, I'm going to leave it to you, and I just trust that he or she will do the right thing and leave it to my kids and her kids. And they leave it that way. Now, knowing full well that when you leave it to the surviving spouse and you don't have any way to protect it, those assets are now his or hers to do whatever they want with when that first spouse passes away.
And they might not be doling it out to those kids that weren't theirs.
You never liked me. And sometimes they love them. Sometimes they love them more than their own kids, their own biological kids. So that has to be taken into consideration, is that survivor wins mentality. So sometimes, and this is the second category of the second part or the second option, is that they'll leave things to the surviving spouse, but maybe what they'll do is they'll leave some of the assets in trust for the benefit of the spouse, but maybe have another trustee as a trustee on that trust, not the surviving spouse alone, to distribute the assets so that the surviving spouse can have benefit of that trust, but can't go in and raid it. And take the assets out, and then upon the death of that spouse, they can then go to their own kids. So it's almost like putting it into a separate jar that the cookies from that jar can be doled out by another trustee, but the spouse can't go in and just take the cookies of themselves. So she has to go, or he has to go and ask that trustee for distributions.
And good luck with that.
And it can be okay, but you bring up a great point, because then you have to think about, again, it's almost like one thing leads to another. Okay, we solved that problem, but who's going to be the trustee? Who is that surviving spouse going to have to go to ask for permission to have assets from the first spouse? So that can be a little tricky. So say, you know, I pick my brother. Well, how well does my brother get along with my wife? Then the thing you got to think about is, well, don't pick your – or think about very carefully whether you'd want to pick your kids as the trustee, because some of the worst fights I've ever seen is when someone will pick their own kids as the trustee. They're also the future beneficiaries. Hmm. So what you are implying is, how often do you think they're going to make distributions from a cookie jar when they're going to get all the cookies that are still in the job later and the jar later? So
interesting.
Yeah, this is almost one of those areas of law that or one of those topics in estate planning that – you know, you solve one problem and then it may lead to another. But it's important, because if you can kind of follow those stones all the way through, the less likely you'll have problems later than just saying, oh, the heck with it, we're just going to leave things to each other. Because I think that's what a lot of spouses do. Mm-hmm. They'll just, you know, draft a will, say, okay, I'm going to just leave it over to you, and I'm not going to think about any of these things, because they're uncomfortable. Unfortunately, you kind of have to think about it. You have to kind of address some of these issues as they come up, because if you don't, you're just going to leave it a total mess. You're going to pretty much guarantee that the steps are and the surviving spouse are going to probably go at it. And if you don't address it at all, you should know, if you are married, the intestate statute takes over, which means that the surviving spouse only gets a portion of the estate, and the kids would get a portion of the estate through what's called the state's will.
Okay. Well, let's talk, before we go to the break, just to remind everybody, Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices, June Knight, we're hosting the show today. We're talking about a guide. It's a free guide you can get your hands on. It's the estate planning guide for second marriages and blended families, if this applies to you. Kind of like a Brady Bunch scenario
going on here. Mike and Carol coming at you.
Mike and Carol. And, you know, this you say, as you say, sometimes more the norm these days. So if you'd like to get your hands on this free guide, the office number for estate preservation law offices out in Worcester, it's 508-751-5010. That's 508-751-5010. Once again, estate planning considerations for second marriages, blended families, and other domestic arrangements. Because let's face it, the new norm is the Brady Bunch.
That's right. That's right.
It really is.
It really is. Yeah.
All right. We'll talk more about this when we get back. Estate planning on the Money Matters Radio Network.
Our love to ski guarantee means you can't go wrong skiing at Wachusett.
If for any reason the first hour you don't like the conditions or something's wrong, come back and we'll give you a whole nother day.
I think the love to ski guarantee is a pretty good deal. It's putting the customer first.
The love to ski guarantee. I do love that.
Good way to spread the good word about Wachusett.
Our love to ski guarantee means you'll always have good snow at Wachusett Mountain.
Everything you needed to know about Wachusett is at Wachusett.com.
Total customer care. That's what makes Midas different. It's how we get to know you and your car, explain things in a way you'll understand, and give you service and repair options that respect your budget. From routine maintenance like oil changes, tires, and brakes, to advanced engine diagnostics and major system repair, come to Midas and see the difference total customer care can make. People and prices you can trust. That's the Midas touch.
And now for the bonus round. Pandora has a box. What does Fred have?
Change for a 20.
Correct. Cat got your tongue. Who's got your back?
Detective Flanagan.
Correct.
All right.
What's the newest way Netflix delivers movies?
That's easy. Instantly. Right to your TV.
Correct. Yeah. Netflix now delivers movies two ways. Instantly to your TV, plus DVDs by mail. Rent as many TV episodes and movies as you want for only $9 a month. Netflix. See terms of use.
Mark, someone is staring at me.
What, like making eyes at you?
Yeah, I guess.
Where? Over there?
Oh, behind you. He's sort of small, like a little stack of money, and he has these big eyes, like googly eyes. He's staring at me.
You sound like you're sort of enjoying this.
Well...
That's it. No, I'm looking.
Oh!
What, that? That's the money we could be saving with Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com.
Yellow Book presents Quick Make a Decision Now, where people are asked to make snap decisions in emergency-like situations. Today's contestant is Bob, a small business owner looking to promote his business.
Hello.
We've placed him in a leaky boat in a tank with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I'm sinking.
He has 10 seconds to answer the question. What's the best way to find customers for your business? A, put one of those annoying inflatable people thingies that shake their stupid arms in front of your business. Or B, advertise in Yellow Book.
This thing is really sinking.
Then you really should make a decision now, Bob.
Okay, Yellow Book. I'm going to choose Yellow Book, obviously. It's a Yellow Book commercial. Would you get me out of this thing?
Correct. Yellow Book can help you reach customers online, on their mobile, or in the book. Yellowbook.com has ratings and reviews, video ads, and more. And WebReach, Yellow Book search engine advertising program, places your ad across top search engines to drive visitors to your website. When your business needs help, the moment you need it, Yellow Book it. To advertise, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit yellowbook.com today. Sound good, Bob?
Ah!
Stings, doesn't it? All right, somebody fish him out of there.
It's the Money Matters Radio Network. Call in toll-free to ask your financial questions at 888-205-2263 or log on to moneymattersboston.com.
Here's a story of a lovely lady who was bringing us three very lovely girls. All of them had hair.
Okay, welcome back into the Money Matters Radio Network. And yeah, the Brady Bunch June night. along with Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices. Yeah, we're talking about blended families, second marriages, and estate planning.
Yeah, yeah. And Alice, too, I guess. You know,
you think Alice was in the will or, the or you know, any of that estate planning with Mike and Carol?
Yeah, you know, she was an interesting... I think everything about that show was just so scrubbed clean. It was just that you look back and you're like, this is just not... This would never happen.
But then, you know, you read the backstories about some of those characters
and
some of the stuff that was going on behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was anything but that, which is what I think was so funny about it, you know? I mean,
I wanted to live in that house. Didn't you want to live? I mean, didn't Mike build it and design it? And
thing too? I mean, he was that cool architect with the perm and everything.
Cool clothing, the 70s clothing.
Oh, yeah, and he had cool kids.
Perm.
Yeah. That guy was a stud. He really was. He was, and he had, what was also cool about him, I don't know if you remember this, but he was the pioneer of working in the house. He had that little separate side office, which is now so popular. Everyone works out of
home.
The home office.
Mike Brady had a home office.
He did. Yeah, before that, before Greg made it his room and with the beads and everything.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah,
I don't know if you remember that episode.
No, I do. And that's when kids started moving into the attic. And, yeah, and they had the vans. And
that's right. That was the beginning of kids never leaving. Boy, that show really had some pioneers in it.
It did. And, of course, second marriages, blended families, the theme of today's show. We've got a free guide to estate planning for those of you maybe on your second marriage, third marriage, who knows, fourth, fifth, and those blended families.
Contemplating it.
contemplating. This guide is for you, and it's all about estate planning. Because, you know, before the break, Brendan, you were talking about how assets can be distributed. What I want to ask is this a lot of work for somebody? Like, is this a lot more work for somebody like you?
You know, it can be. It can be. But oftentimes, you know, because of what we were saying earlier is that it's become more of the norm. It's, you know, more work than when, because it's almost like we're always addressing these issues. It, you know, so it's not really more than the last time, because the last time we had a similar issue. And it really gets down to what we've talked about in shows past is, you know, going through the intake sheet, asking the questions, you know, have you had prior marriages? You know, do you have obligations in your divorce decree that say that you've got to carry life insurance for the previous spouse? I mean, do you know, going back and asking the questions, is there a prenup? You know, what, because people won't tell you, you know, and rightfully so, because they don't know that that's relevant. It's not their job to know it's relevant. It's our job as the advisor to know. So we're the ones that have to ask the question, which always blows me away, because so many times clients will say, you know, my previous lawyer never asked me these questions. And he just drafted a will. And I say, why? And they'll say, because we asked him to. And that's just a mystery to me. You know, you've got to ask. And it's our job, again, to ask. And just things like that, you know, prior obligations on a divorce decree. Because we could set up the most beautiful thing. And then, you know, if I didn't ask on your previous marriage to look at your divorce decree, and then you're supposed to carry $500,000 of life insurance for the benefit of, you know, your ex-spouse or your kids, and we didn't do it, and we have this wonderful plan, now they have an action against our estate to go collect that money. So it may really affect how, you know, ripple into what we've planned. So it really needs to be a thorough job. And so to the long-winded answer to answer your very short question was, yeah, it can be more work. We've got to do a lot of due diligence. We've got to look under a lot of stones just to make sure that we're not leaving any unturned, because it's always that unturned stone that comes back to bite us. And 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll wake up and I'll say, did I ask that question? You know, because, you know, we're constantly just like scanning for problems, because it's always that little crack that ends up, you know, blowing the plan up.
What's the most popular way? I don't even know how to say this correctly, but, you know, in all the estate planning that you've done for these second, third, fourth marriages and blended families, what's the most popular way to divide these assets or split these assets up? Is there one particular way you see people doing this?
No, there's not one particular way, but you know, it does fall into those categories of how we take care of the previous kids and how we secure that for them, because that is the concern, and that's a great question, because the overall concern is, I've got my obligations to my spouse, my new spouse, and I've got children from a previous marriage, and I need to weigh these things, and what are my obligations here? And honestly, people feel differently about it. Some people really feel that they're obligated, and again, it depends on how old their kids are too, because a lot of people will say, you know, if their kids are older, I took care of them, or, you know, they're all set, they're all educated, you know, they're on their own. I mean, and a lot of them will say, heck, they're doing better than I am. You know, I've got to really, you know, my obligation is to my spouse, and I've got to make sure that if something happens to me that I've taken care of him or her. But then you'll have some people who say, you know, will come in and just say, no, I really want to secure something for my kids. And a lot of times it comes in from the kids too. You know, so the kids will be whispering in the ear saying, hey, you know, don't forget about us.
Mm-hmm.
And what I always try to remind people is that they're your assets. You can do whatever you want, subject to the fact of, you know, we've got certain obligations we've got to take care of. And laws that we have to deal with. For instance, one of them being that if we have someone who comes in and wants to leave their spouse out, you know, of the will without any kind of prenuptial agreement, like we talked about last week, there are certain rights that a spouse has to what we call elect against the will. So if my wife wants to take whatever asset she has on her side of the equation and just leave me out, does her own planning somewhere else and just leave me out, upon passing, I can go and elect against what she's done and take a statutory share
mm-hmm.
that I'm entitled to. Oddly enough, I always find this somewhat strange, is that you can omit your children, but you cannot omit your spouse. In other words, the spouse has an option to elect, subject to them waiving the rights in a prenup.
Oh, okay.
So I can leave all my kids out, as strange as that sounds, but not my spouse.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah. And it's really important. And then it really gets into things like, okay, well, you call them your children. We really have to ask these questions on the intake sheet, but are they really your children? Are they biologically your children? Are they stepchildren? Mm. Are they adopted?
Are they the neighbors next door? Who knows?
And sometimes people have these deep, dark secrets that they'll come out upon asking and say, you know, this child doesn't know it, but, you know, they were adopted. And we've got to go through, you know, some of the motions and have this information in our files just so that we can properly advise them, because someone may say, oh, they're not really my kid. Well, what does that mean? And, oh, I want to omit them, but you don't have to mention that in the will because they're not really my kid. And I'll say, well, what does that mean? Well, when I married my wife, she had a son. And I'm saying, okay, did you adopt him? And like, oh, yeah. Well, now he's your son by law. And he, you know, so now if you want to omit him, we should mention that in the will, because one of the things that we always have to be cognizant of is that what happens when you're gone? I mean, we're alive to see these things being administered on the other side, so we really want to properly draft a document. One of the most frequently used arguments by a child who is left out of a will is that they were omitted by accident. But they can't.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah, but they can't be omitted by accident if you mention right in there, I purposely leave them out. So sometimes you can be a little mean.
Get off the denial fence.
Right, exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Man, that's too bad.
So, you know, again, you know, these are just all things that we need to cover, make sure that the client understands, make sure they understand, you know, the direction we're going, why we're going that way, why it's set up that way. So they can get a little bit complicated. Now, the overlay on all of these issues, you know, and some of the decisions that we, you know, work into these answers that we work into the decisions that they need to make is some other things like tax. So, for instance, we may have a situation where a client wants to omit, you know, leave more assets to their children and less to the surviving spouse, and they have the lion's share of the assets. And what we'll say to them is, well, you know, we'll talk about some of the issues we've just talked about, but we'll also mention tax. And then we'll say, well, listen, you know, if you have a taxable estate, one of the things you can do is leave some assets to your children. But if you leave them too many assets, if we leave a certain amount of assets to your surviving spouse, we can get a marital deduction on the estate tax return and then use her credit later on to apply to this trust and go through some of the, variations on how they leave assets based on tax. And sometimes people will do that. Just, okay, well, that makes sense because I don't mind leaving or something. And if it makes sense for tax, all the more better.
Yeah, and they wouldn't know this unless they sat down and talked to you.
Exactly. So, and it sounds callous to say that decisions are made based on taxes and all these things, but sometimes they are. And that's, you know, if they're on the fence and they say, well, yeah, if I can get a tax break on it too, that's more money for the next generation. I can use some of that credit. Why don't we do that? That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, and you know what, Brendan? They wouldn't know this, too, unless they got their hands on this free guide to estate planning for second marriages and blended families that you're giving out today A lot of this information is inside of this. And common issues that come up, family dynamics and tensions that arise, those financial issues, all the estate planning issues is in this. Like Brendan was saying, the ownership of assets, breaking that down. Oh, my goodness, the qualification of Medicaid and Mass Health.
Yeah, those are other things that, you know, you need to think about, too. And, again, we were talking a lot of times, you know, last week about what happens prior with prenups, you know, thinking about some of the issues before you get into it. Mentioning things like, you know, with respect to, you know, Medicaid planning, how you can't, you know, in your prenup say, well, if my spouse goes in, her assets are going to be looked at and not mine.
Oh,
some things you can't contract away. However, you know, once you're married, it's important to know that's what happens to your assets. So quite often, sometimes some clients will come to us before they're married, and it's important for us to tell them, hey, if you do get married, you know, he's much older than you or she's much older than you, just be aware that your assets will all be looked at if that individual goes to the nursing home. And if they're, you know, 25, 30 years older, they may go home with a, hey, honey, why don't we just live together? You know, I mean, yeah.
Well, no, don't laugh, because that's in this free guide as well,
exactly.
An entire section on unmarried couples. And
that's
if you are a younger gal,
know,
thinking about marrying an older gent, if you will, you might want to get your hands on this free guide, too. It's a free guide to estate planning for second marriages and blended families. How do you get your hands on it? You call Brendan King's office. That's 508-751-5010. 508-751-5010. Not a whole lot of legal jargon in this, Brendan.
Yeah,
there's
some practical aspects to that, too. You know, emotions, feelings. Because, you know, a lot of what we do, it does get emotional, and there are a lot of feelings involved. So, you know, to the extent that we can create something that's going to react a lot less, you know, later on, then it's going to create more family harmony. And it's better to do it now, make the decision, than to wait later and have it blow up.
Also a section for same-sex married couples in there, too. 508-751-5010 for the free guide. We'll be back with Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices June 9th here on the Money Matters Radio Network.
A Bloomberg Businessweek update. I'm Carol Masser. Apple chief executive Steve Jobs likes to poke fun at rival Samsung over its Galaxy Tab, a competitor to the iPad. This even as Apple depends on Samsung for vital parts of the iPad and other products. Ashley Vance wrote the story for Bloomberg Businessweek.
Samsung produces the really key components that go into the iPhone and the iPad. It makes the display screens, and then crucially, it makes the main computation chip that goes into the iPad and the iPhone. It's been a little bit embarrassing for Samsung. Steve Jobs, during the iPad 2 launch, was up there making fun of Samsung's sales of its tablets, and he was calling Samsung one of the leaders of the iPad copycats.
Unless Apple decides to diversify its chip supply soon, Samsung's best option may be to keep on grinning, bearing the abuse, and cashing the checks from Cupertino. For more on this story, go to businessweek.com. I'm Carol Masser.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Does a rolling stone gather no moss? No moss. You're going to have to trust me on this one.
Switch to GEICO now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Time now for the final round. Mike has blue eyes. Jim has brown eyes. What does Joe have?
Bronchitis?
Correct.
Yes.
If X marks the spot,
Y folds the laundry.
Correct.
Woo!
How many TV episodes does Netflix let you watch instantly for only $8 a month?
As many as you want.
Correct. Watch unlimited episodes of your favorite TV shows and movies instantly through your game console or other devices. All for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Hey, this is Dave calling in from MoneyMattersBoston.com here. Verizon and many other employers have come out with early retirement packages, and older workers have a very limited amount of time to make an informed decision. How much severance are you being offered? How does the offer affect your pension? Does the offer include health insurance? These are critical points to consider before you make a decision. Call us at 781-433-0001 and receive our free report evaluating an early retirement offer. You should act quickly as you have to make a decision within 2 weeks of receiving your package. 781-433-0001. We can help you make an informed decision. This early retirement offer could be a great opportunity, and we can help you understand that opportunity. Call now for our free report called Evaluating an Early Retirement Offer. That's 781-433-0001. Again, 781-433-0001. Prepare yourself for this critical offer. 781-433-0001.
Your financial questions answered by the best local business professionals. Only here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Call in with your questions at 888-205-2263 or send us instant feedback on moneymattersboston.com.
Jackie Gleason. The Honeymooners.
All right. Welcome back into the afternoon edition of Money Matters Radio Network. We're playing The Honeymooners tonight here along with Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices. We're doing that because we're giving away a guide to estate planning for second marriages and blended families. Because as you say, Brendan, and you're out there, you see it.
Yeah.
This may be more the norm these days than the other way.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, when we get that couple that comes in and they've had the 50-year marriage and their kids are all, doing great. And it's not even just the second marriages, because, we're talking about blended families and second marriages today. But, even for couples who have had that, they've got the kids who one of them's in trouble with something, or you always got to, kind of dig beyond it. But it's very rare to have that perfect, situation.
Yeah.
And that you don't have to ever think about too many complicated things other than what everyone has to worry about, like taxes and avoiding probate and that sort of thing. So it is more the norm. It is more the norm. In fact, we're calling this handout the second marriages blended families, but second, third, fourth, take your pick.
Right.
take your pick.
And it's a guide, and it's got everything in here for you. It's easy to read, too. And the phone number to get your hands on this guide is 508-751-5010. That's 508-751-5010. What do you guys do? Do you email it out? Do you snail mail it out?
Whatever the client prefers. Sometimes we do the email. Sometimes we do the snail mail, and it's really whatever the clients wish to give us as far as info.
Okay, so you've given us all kinds of great information regarding estate planning and blended marriages and second marriages and all that. What else haven't we touched upon? I'm just going down the list here trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, I think that, one of the things that you always have to be cognizant of, too, is and so often someone will think that just by drafting their will, they've taken care of it. But as we know, we have someone brought donuts beneficiary designation, where, you sign up for your 401k plan or your life insurance policy through work, and you're doing the paperwork with the HR person, and you don't even remember who you wrote down as the beneficiary designation because someone brought donuts, and you quickly fill it out, throw it back at the HR lady, and run down the hall to get that jelly stick.
Okay.
So,
right.
So, what you always have to remember is when you're doing this type of planning is that you may have an ex-spouse on, your life insurance policy through work or your 401k or your IRA, wherever these things, you may not have cleaned up some matters from the divorce. You may not have finished one marriage and now are entering another one. So when you're thinking about what you want to leave, we've got to make sure we clean up everything that needs to be cleaned up before. Check on those beneficiary designations. Who's the beneficiary of life insurance? Who's the beneficiary of your IRAs and your 401ks? Those bank accounts sometimes people forget about, because they're not going in and checking the interest every month on their passbooks. But who's the joint owner on that account? Did we take off, the individual that was supposed to be there? So, and again, maybe you have someone on there, and it's important to know how these assets go, because those assets will go directly to those individuals. So if we have a situation where my wife and I say it's a second marriage and I want to leave her everything, but if I've got my kids on my passbooks, they're the new owners of those accounts, so she's not going to get everything. Even though my will says it, that stuff goes around probate. okay, even if my trust says it, my living revocable trust that I had set up to avoid probate, if I didn't fund it and I've got a lot of jointly held assets or I've got beneficiary designations going elsewhere, my goals still haven't been accomplished. I might have designed a great plan, but I didn't finish the plan. And maybe didn't wrap up all the aspects of my prior marriage. And because I've seen that time again, you know, someone will say, oh, I never, you know, we never divided my 401k and did the quadro and all this kind of stuff. We were supposed to do it, but we never finished it up. And you got to wrap up sometimes some of the old news before we kind of, you know, get into some of the new news and how we can go, you know, take that step. So that's something that I wanted to mention because I do see that. That does come up all the time. The other thing that I'll quite frequently see is, you know, what if you're not married? Okay, so say, for instance, you're divorced and you have your children and then you're living with somebody. Well,
and that's probably popular,
yeah,
too.
Very
that's
popular.
Out there.
Yeah, yeah, it's very popular. And so, you know, without being married, if you want to leave that individual, that your partner something, you've got to actually put that in the document. You've actually going to put, you know, create documents to do that because there's no statutory share. There's no, in the intestate statute, the person that I'm living with is not a category of person to receive. My kids will receive my entire estate in that scenario. They are my next of kin. So with being divorced, having children, and having someone that I'm living with, that person that I'm living with, I may have wanted them to get everything, but if I didn't do something about it, if I didn't maybe, you know, put them on an account or what have you, or name them as a beneficiary or draft a will or trust to deal with that, they're not gonna get anything.
No, and I'm thinking that if they don't at least have the decency to marry you, they're not probably going to give you anything either. So that person you're living with,
right,
or, you know,
yeah,
usually maybe getting that short end of the stick.
Right.
I'm just saying.
No, that's true. That's true. You know, and again, you know, I don't mean to charge up a bunch,
yeah,
of people out
but
there.
These but these are the scenarios out
these
there.
These are the scenarios, and we see it all the time. You know, oh, we weren't married, but we lived together. Well, the car marriage thing doesn't go around here. It's not something that we're really dealing with in Massachusetts. You're married, and then you have rights in that marriage, either to elect against the will that you were left out of or didn't get enough from, or if there's no will, you're a taker under the intestate statute as next of kin along with the children. So be aware of that. Be aware of that particular scenario. So you can certainly leave them something, but it won't happen if you don't proactively do it.
Right, so you really need to get down and get that done then.
Absolutely.
If you are living with somebody, because once again, like you said, lack of financial protection.
Absolutely.
For the most part.
Absolutely.
Very interesting. We're giving away a guide if you're just joining us on this very rainy Wednesday. Is it still raining and cold out there?
You know, it was drizzling when I came in, but it was absolutely pouring on my way here. Yeah,
it was again.
Yeah,
I think this is all blowing out today, and we're going to get some nice.
So I think, yeah, Wednesdays, if some reason, when I've been coming in lately, it's been a lot of dreary type. Of course, it's a Marchish, end of February, beginning,
yeah,
of Marchish type of weather. What is it? March winds and April showers bring May,
yeah,
flowers.
And I'm trying to remember, in like a lion, out like a lamb.
That's right.
I'm trying to remember what it came in as, Brendan, you know?
You know, it certainly didn't come in like January.
Okay, yeah, thank goodness. I don't care what's coming out of the sky, as long
so
as it's not
relative,
white.
I guess, yeah. I guess it's relative.
And so Brendan King from Estate Preservation Law Office is in studio with me June Knight, as he is every Wednesday. He's giving away this free guide. It's kind of cool. Because, like Brendan says, this is more the norm these days. Second marriages, third marriages, or what have you, blended families, same-sex marriages, and it's a guide to the estate planning for these situations. This might be you. Maybe you're thinking about a second marriage. Maybe you're into one. Maybe you've got a blended family and you want to do some estate planning. You can get your hands on this free guide. Not that many things free these days, by calling Brendan's office at 508-751-5010. The number again, 508-751-5010.
Yeah, and you know, just want to kind of follow up to, you know, what we had talked about prior to the last break was, you know, the thoughts about, as Juna just mentioned, if you're thinking about, you know, another marriage, just be aware of the fact that we talked a little bit about how the nursing home scenario can come into play, where, you know, if you marry someone, your assets are going to be tied together. So if you're later in life, you may be looking at that situation. But in the same vein, I also want to think about, maybe if we're a little bit younger than looking at nursing home, financial aid. Be aware that if you are thinking about getting married, and everyone in the world is going to think about how many marriages has he delayed. We have, actually. We've delayed a few because, again, information is important, you know, and we'll get people who come in and I've had this situation happen maybe about a month ago where a couple came in. They were thinking about getting married and want to talk to me about
the ramifications
of that. But they were actually had some questions. I think it might have been some financial aid questions or estate planning. I don't remember exactly if, you know, how they initially came in. One led to the other nonetheless, and they are simultaneously going ahead with us on some matters. But the issue really was, you know, they were not aware of the fact that when individuals get married, the new spouse's assets and income will count on the financial aid form. So typically when you're divorced, your aid will come to the student where the student spent most of their time in the last 12 months, whichever parent that is. But if whatever the parent that is gets remarried, that new spouse's assets and income gets put to the family expected family contribution.
Okay. So
they end up getting less aid, most likely.
So you've delayed the marriage.
Delay the marriage.
Was there a ring on the finger when you delayed the marriage?
She got to claw my eyes out. I guess, you know, guys want to get married too. You know, I shouldn't necessarily say he wanted to claw my eyes
out. That's true. That's
punch
true.
Me, I guess.
The free guide to this estate planning guide for second marriages, blended families, 508-751-5010. 508-751-5010. We'll be back. This is the Money Matters Radio Network.
Yellow Book presents Quick, Make a Decision, Now, where people are asked to make snap decisions in emergency-like situations. Today's contestant is Bob, a small business owner looking to promote his business.
Hello.
We've placed him in a leaky boat in a tank with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I'm sinking.
He has 10 seconds to answer the question. What's the best way to find customers for your business? A, put one of those annoying inflatable people thingies that shake their stupid arms in front of your business. Or B, advertise in Yellow Book.
This thing is really sinking.
Then you really should make a decision now, Bob.
Okay, Yellow Book. I'm going to choose Yellow Book, obviously. It's a Yellow Book commercial. Would you get me out of this thing?
Correct. Yellow Book can help you reach customers online, on their mobile, or in the book. Yellowbook.com has ratings and reviews, video ads, and more. And WebReach, Yellow Book search engine advertising program, places your ad across top search engines to drive visitors to your website. When your business needs help, the moment you need it, Yellow Book it. To advertise, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit yellowbook.com today. Sound good, Bob?
Ah!
Stings, doesn't it? All right, somebody fish him out of there.
Our Love to Ski guarantee means you can't go wrong skiing at Wachusett.
If for any reason the first hour you don't like the conditions or something's wrong, come back and we'll give you a whole nother day.
I think the Love to Ski guarantee is a pretty good deal. It's putting the customer first.
The Love to Ski guarantee. I do love that.
Good way to spread the good word about Wachusett.
Our Love to Ski guarantee means you'll always have good snow at Wachusett Mountain.
Everything you need to know about Wachusett is at Wachusett.com.
Springtime in the backyard. Brought to you with a little help from Ace. For a limited time, buy a Miracle-Gro Liquifeed Kit for only $15.99 and get a $6 mail-in rebate, limit 2. A canopy chair on sale for $19.99 and more. Use your Ace Rewards card and earn points. Plus, get expert advice to save you time and money. Now that's a value. Hurry in to Ace, the helpful place. Prices good at participating stores while supplies last. See store for details.
Yellow Book presents Quick, Make a Decision, Now. We place today's contestant, Bob, a small business owner, in a leaky boat in a tank with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I'm sinking.
Bob, what's the best way to find customers for your business? A, hand out pens with your name on it, or B, advertise in Yellow Book.
This thing is really sinking.
Then make a decision now.
Yellow Book!
Right. Yellow Book can help your customers find you online, on their mobile, or in the book. When your business needs help, Yellow Book it. To advertise, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit yellowbook.com today.
Your lawn, destroyed by insects above ground and below. Bayer Advanced Complete Insect Killer protects against both in one easy step. Other leading brands stop at the surface, allowing damage to continue. But Complete's exclusive two-way formula kills insects above ground while it penetrates below ground to control root-destroying pests for up to 3 months. That's the beauty of better science. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results. BayerAdvanced.com.
It's the Money Matters Radio Network. Call in toll-free to ask your financial questions at 888-205-2263 or log on to moneymattersboston.com.
Welcome back into the Money Matters Radio Network Afternoon Edition. The wedding theme song, yeah. Brendan King.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't use that.
You didn't?
No, we used that. I think a lot of people did Can.
Guns N' Roses,
yeah,
or something.
A little GNR.
Song, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think they had a wedding song in there. We didn't use that. My wife was not a big fan, and the more I hear that, I'm not a big fan of that either.
It doesn't leave a lot to the imagination, really.
Yeah.
If you're using that song, but yeah. You know what? If you did use it, I'm sure you had a great wedding.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Nothing wrong with it.
No. And there's no statistics saying if you use that, then you're now part of a second or a third, or whether they're used more in second and third marriages. I mean, that's not in the handout.
Okay, you know, like a jinx type situation.
Right. There's no jinx.
Once again, June 9 in studio with Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices out in Worcester. We're talking about estate planning for second, third, fourth. What have you blended marriages today? Because you know what? Think about it. This is important stuff. You got to get the wills. You got to get your estate planning, you know, your assets in line and figure out who's going to get what and what's going to happen. Because now you've got more people involved, right?
Yeah, you got more people involved. And you know, we were talking during the break. You know, it's a very good point. You know, people are, and June mentions this a lot, is people are living longer, you know. And so if you're in a situation, I think we're going to be seeing these issues more and more where if someone has a spouse has an untimely death, or if a spouse, didn't last, you know, people are living longer, so the chances of people having the opportunity to remarry are higher.
Because they're bored now that they've lived. Oh, okay, I've lived 55 years. I got to change it up now.
Yeah, well, loneliness is all it's cracked up to be. You know, it really is. I mean, it's. I think you know. I don't think I'm a romantic, but I think there's a purpose to the whole thing.
Sharing and caring. Yeah.
You know, whether you decide to do it through a formal marriage or however you decide to do it, I think it's, you know, we're relatively social people. But I think at the end of the day, June's exactly right. It is something that is, you know, becoming more and more common. And these issues become, come up more and more frequently. And one of the issues that we always, we'll run into is, who's someone going to pick for their agent? So if they have their children and they have, you know, their new spouse, do they pick their new spouse as the trustee or the executor or their healthcare proxy or the power of attorney?
How important is all of that?
It's very important to have the discussion. Do you have co-trustees or co-powers of attorney? Do you bring in like one of the children? And so this really gets into some of the nitty-gritty of having sometimes uncomfortable conversations at these meetings saying like, you know, well, how do you feel with your spouse being the person in charge of this if you're incapacitated or when you've passed away? The control aspect, we talked about it earlier. You know, if you have a trust, is she going to be the trustee? Does she have the ability to go in and take the assets out, put them into her own name or his own name, the surviving spouse's own name, and then leave them to his or her children, leaving yours out? So, again, some of the thought process as to who's going to be representing you either while you're alive through a power of attorney or making medical decisions through a healthcare proxy, or is that going to be someone, you're going to be your child, going to be a spouse or your child? And so sometimes they're uncomfortable, you know, conversations, but we've got to have them, and you've got to be brought up because you can't just ignore the issue. You want to get married. This is what's going to happen. These are some of the things you're going to need to think about.
Right. Because, you could be marrying somebody that's got kids.
Yeah.
And, that has issues of their own or has property.
Right.
And has assets and different situations going on.
Yeah.
So.
And we talked last week sometimes about how it can be uncomfortable to talk about the prenup. But, you know, that's a real reality. And in fact, if you don't talk about it there, we're going to be talking about some of these similar issues when you are doing your estate plan after you're married. So these issues, you know, don't really go away. You know, you can talk to them before. I think why people are uncomfortable talking to them before, they're like, well, let's get a few years of marriage under our belt. We'll be more comfortable with each other and we'll be better off talking about it later.
Not a good idea.
If you can talk about the issue, it's a realistic idea. In other words, I think that it's very true. Obviously, the more time people spend with each other, the more comfortable they are with each other to truly believe that they'll do certain things for them and that they'll carry out their wishes, which a lot of times is what people's concerns are. Will this individual carry out my wishes? And that's really, at the end of the day, what the decision is all about. If there's some hesitation there, maybe we should talk about other people we can put in there to help make sure that your wishes are delivered, whether it's medical, whether it's during your lifetime on finance, whether it's when you've passed away with respect to your finances. So again, but you don't get there without kind of having the conversation. So I think the whole point of the conversation here today on the radio is these are things that you should, if you haven't talked about, you should be thinking about, and it may be uncomfortable, but it's certainly going to be more uncomfortable for your family later if you don't have it. Have those conversations ahead of time.
And you know what else, Brendan? Something else that's in the guide here as I go through this free guide, and it's kind of a grim issue, the funeral and burial process, of
right.
course, so that,
yeah.
you know, I guess you've got a plan for that as well.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. You have very little rights with respect to your own body. I mean, and a lot of times it's not addressed in your estate plan, but you should be aware is that your next of kin have the right to, you know, to make those decisions. And so a lot of times, you know, we're dealing with the surviving spouse and the children. So, again, this is what I want to have done. Who can I trust to carry out those wishes? And again, it's about being vocal about what you want to have done, because if it's not talked about, then the surviving spouse and the children are going to maybe have debates as to what's going to happen with dad or mom's remains.
Mm-hmm.
And that can get real tricky, and a conversation that should be had, whether we put that in documentation or not, probably not so much as it needs to be said, as well as the medical, the decisions and healthcare proxies. Do we go ahead and list every single thing that could ever possibly happen in a healthcare proxy? Typically not, particularly if you're signing a healthcare proxy at a local hospital, because if you've seen their forms, they're pretty short. It's like, who's making the decision?
No, really.
What they're supposed to do is make a substituted judgment decision. You, June, if I pick you as my healthcare agent, you make the decision as to what I would want have if I'm not able to do so.
And
not,
hopefully you've told me beforehand.
Yes, and because you're not making it for what you want from me. It's what I want from me, and you've got to say it. That's really what ends up happening. So if I don't believe that you're going to make the decision for me as to what I want, then I've got to think about somebody else. But irrespective of that, you don't get to that point without expressing your wishes. These things have to be talked about. So, yeah, medical, powers of attorney, agency, any type of agency relationship like that as to, you know, what you'd want to have happen. If I'm incapacitated and every year I made gifts to my children and I can't anymore, you as my agent, did I give you the authority and the power of attorney? And you knowing that I've done that historically, should you do it? You know, and you wanting to carry out my wishes, you know, because we've had this conversation that that's what you want to have. Getting back to the medical, that's why we'll have something called a living will, a natural death declaration. I don't want to be kept alive by heroic measures or artificial means, because I want you to know that this is what I want, and I want my kids, although you're making the decision, to understand that you've got something in writing to make that tough decision for me.
Do you see a lot of people? Do a lot of people have this healthcare proxy?
They should. And it's part of our base plan. When we're setting up something, someone will come in, and if they're asking for a will, they're getting those things. We're just giving it to them because, you know, now if they don't have anybody, you know, we can talk to them about that. But usually there's someone that in their life that they would trust to be able to make these decisions. And what that is that they will pick someone to, as I had indicated, make those medical decisions in substituted judgment form, what I would want for myself. You're allowed to pick one agent and one alternate, so whoever you pick as your first agent will be making that decision. The kids, if I pick, you know, my spouse, the kids can jump up and scream and say, this is not what Dad wants, but the hospital is going to look to you as the agent to make that decision, irrespective of what they want. Ideally, what you want is to have someone who can go back, maybe solicit opinions, but is not afraid to stand on their feet and make the decision, because the decision has to be made by one.
Yeah, and you know, I would think a healthcare proxy, situation, that's almost ageless in a sense. You know, a lot of people, when they think estate planning and wills, they think about, oh, when I get older and this and that. But you know what?
Right.
Come to think of it, anything could happen at any time.
Oh, sure, sure. I mean, you go in for surgery, you're going to be incapacitated. The hospital's going to make you. So a lot of times what we'll see and what we'll tell clients is that when you draft this, is just make sure your providers have it, because what will end up happening is if you go to the hospital and you sign a new one, it revokes the old one by statute. So a lot of times people don't don't realize it, and the hospital just want, you know, they want to protect themselves. So you walk in the door, and they're sticking one in front of your face to sign.
Oh, wow.
And that's okay from their perspective, because now they've got a copy of who's supposed to make the decision. But what it does is it inadvertently revokes something you've done before. So if you go in with sign a new one and appointing whoever drove you in to the hospital, maybe it's your son, and he's going to be your healthcare agent, and then your spouse has one that you've signed before, she might come in and thinking she's the healthcare agent, but the latest one you signed is the one that's going to come.
The latest one is the veto.
That's
okay,
right, the
okay.
Trump card. The old Trump card.
Once again, June 9 in studio with Brandon King of Estate Preservation Law Offices, and boy, oh boy, he's got a free guide for you today. That's what he's talking about. It's a free estate planning guide for second marriages, third marriages, what have you, blended families and other situations out there. There's a whole ton of them, according to him. And this is a free guide for you to get your hands on, and it breaks all of this information down that we've been talking about. Maybe you only heard a portion of the show. You want that extended version. The office number to call to get this free guide, maybe email, maybe snail mail, 508-751-5010. That's 508-751-5010. Brent, you did a great job with this guide. So easy to read.
Thank you so much. We try to make it easy to read. You know, one of the things that I really do have an appreciation for is, my wife's an attorney, but and I'm an attorney, and we'll oftentimes have each other read our stuff, because although we're both attorneys, our things are so different. Like, the jargon in her world is the jargon in mine. And, mm-hmm. and what we'll oftentimes do is say, read my stuff. If you can't understand it, then they're not going to be able to understand it.
Great.
So we really do kind of pass this through, and we'll have even other people in our office just make sure that they can understand it, because that's really important. If our clients can't understand it,
forget it. And
yeah.
Your wife has gone through this, and she's done the proofreading for you.
She has, yep. And we have people in the office read it too, who are, you know, although and sometimes it's tougher, and even people in the office, because they, although they're not lawyers, they have a tremendous amount of knowledge in the area by working with us. But it's very important to kind of have that kind of sift out and get all that legal jargon out of there.
Yeah, you know, this is in layman's terms, folks. So if you want to get your hands on it, Brendan's office number again for the free guide to estate planning to second marriages, blended families, it's 508-751-5010, 508-751-5010. Thank you so much, Brendan King. Stay dry out there on
this
Wednesday.
Try. Thank you so much.
Happy St. Patrick's Day tomorrow.
Happy St. Pat's.
All right, we'll see you next Wednesday.
See you, Jim.
See everybody June 9 for the Money Matters Radio Network.